recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's daf in Masechet Be'ilah brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim is daf Yotet. We're holding the two dots at the top of the daf. Omar Mar, Yudar Shid yesterday. From the Pasuk of Be'ilah itself, it says, Nefesh Kitim Omal V'chata B'shkagas. You were derish yesterday that Nefesh comes to tell me that it doesn't matter who you are. Echad HaYachid V'echad HaNasi. It doesn't matter if you talk about the Kohen Gadol, you talk about a Melech, you're talking about a normal guy. What kind of crazy drasha is that? What exactly did you think? That somehow the Torah makes different chiyuvim for a fancy person and a regular person? I understand how to read it. It says nefesh. Nefesh means whoever doesn't. What do you got to tell me such nonsense for? Nefesh means anybody. Pshita means anybody. Nefesh k'tiv. Ah, no. There's a chiddush. I'll tell you why there's a chiddush. Because there's a subcategory of me'ila, which is called being mena from the Shem and Anishma, right? Over there, the Torah specifies an iser, which is unique to the Shem and Anishma. So what did the Torah say over there? Since Omar Achmona, Vasher yitin mimenu alzar v'nichrat mi'amav, to use the Shemana Mishka to put on a zar, so then you're nichrat. So I would have said, okay, the Torah specifies over there dafke zar. Now these people, a melech, a kohen gadol, I mean, they're not zarim to the Shemana Mishka. They need the Shemana Mishka. So I love zar. Zar means you're out of that category. You're alien to it. You certainly can't call someone who utilizes the Shemana Mishka in his goof a zar. It's just the opposite of a zar. So I might have thought that halacha should redefine our concept of mi'ilah. Somebody that has shaychus to hegdish shouldn't be male. Therefore, kamash v'lam nefesh, I need to point out to you that you shouldn't have such havaminas. Okay, so now let us sum up, says the Gemara, what it is that we have done in our drashas. Basically, we've had four separate psukim that we were derish. We were derish the pasuk of nefesh kitim omal, v'chatar b'shkaga, mikadshei Hashem. We were derish every one of those issues. But then we went to define them by how the word me'ila appears by Saita, where it says ma'al, how it appears by Vedazara, where it says ma'al, and how the concept is redefined by Truma, where I learn out chet chet mi Truma. So I want to sum up now, what are the issues that we ended up learning out? So on the one hand, Akshar Achmona l'sota, on the other, Tavadat Kochavim, and yet on the other, to Truma. What was the Chiddush of Sota? The Chiddush of Sota was that Af Agav Delo Pagam, nonetheless, it's still a Sota. Because a Sota has to be a Bu'ula, what the Gemara learns out in Sota. If she wasn't already Piguma, she's already used. So you're not going to ruin her now by sleeping with her. So too, Gabi Agdash Name, Natna tabaat biyada, she puts a beautiful ring on her fingers. So even though she wasn't pogenet, she's mu'ala. Now, we also learn out that ki akshach min ala avodat kochavim teaches me that you need to have a shinui, and therefore by hegdash nami, now, let's understand that the word shinui as used over here is very, very disturbing. Because to take the understanding from Avodah Zarah to mean that the moment that you have something that you were pagan in, that is certainly not what we're learning out of Avodat Kochavim. We're learning out of Avodat Kochavim Shinui, and this Tosfos says, the way I spoke out before, in the beginning of the parak, the chiddush of Avodat Kochavim is that you can be Mayo even through Shinui Rishus, not through Shinui of an object, that in the same way that you took yourself out of the Rishus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's called Avodah Zarah. That's why it's called Znut. So you're Zoneh, you move away from where you are. And as we pointed out yesterday, that's why it's called Vayiznu Acharei HaBa'alim. So it's a Shinui Rishut into the Rishut of a Baal, another Baal. But if that's the case, then why does the Gemara say Ad Ika Shinui Gabe Hegdash Nami Ad Bika Pikardom? You used your hatchet to actually break a branch, and thereby you were pogging in it. So what does that have to do with pogging? That's not where we learned that out from. We have that then you could be Nena without Pagam. Fine. But certainly that's not the main point that we learn out from Avodat Kochavim. So Tosfos says that that's really what it means. Since there's a Shita of Rav Huna, the Tosfos claims that he brought before, but he didn't actually, as it's on Kachin points out. He never mentioned Rav Huna. But the truth is that in Bob Metzia, Rav Huna's Shita is that you need to do an act that you're kena it with from Hegdash, not just the use is mishana from the Shus Hegdash. So it's coming to tell me, Rabbuta says, even Alibad Rav Huna, that even Alibad Rav Huna, we would say it this way. If you don't know the Rav Huna's Stam, it comes to tell you that the moment that you use it, you hand it into the hand of somebody else to use, you paid for the makolet with it. So that moment, you're kena to be Mitzim Shus Hegdash. So that is a completely different type of Me'ilah. A Me'ilah of Shinui Rishus without Pagam. And even without Hana'ah. Furthermore, and only Rav Huna, of course, you would need to do something that changed it to be Kainanit. Now the Rambam disagrees with all of this, because his Shita is exactly the opposite of Tosfos. He believes that there is no new category that is called that someone who is motzi mishut hekdesh to mishut hedyot without making some kind of either hana'ah or pegima with hana'ah, as the case may be. And that is really the pashtus of the sugya over here. It's Tosfos all along that, and along with many of the other Rishonim, of course, that take for granted that Yetziah from Rishus Hegdash, because that's such an important yesod all over Shas, is by definition the act of Me'ilah. Except that the Rambam holds that Mechira, which is always what we use as the case of somebody who inadvertently uses money, buys, and so on, as Yor Sameach points out, that, look, that is simply a Toelet. And since it's a toilet, this is what he wants. This is what he wants. So he's having his way. That itself is his anah. And therefore, it becomes considered to be a me'ila because it's a nena of being motzi rishus rishus. But if he hadn't done what he wanted to do, then there would be no way that would be true. And even brings many other rishus, even the Ravid in the Teres Kayanim, seems to say beferish like that. Yetziah from Hegdash requires anah. And that itself even gets into the question of whether the Hana of the one who accepts a gift, let's say, is considered to be capable of equaling a Shavu Pruta together with the Hana of the giving of the Matana, etc., etc. And therefore, it's not necessarily the case that the way that we just explained it, Aliba the Tosfos, is the way to do the Gemara. The Pashas of the Gemara is saying exactly what it's saying. We're learning out from Avodah Zarah the concept of not Stam Yetziah Rishus, but utilization of something and being pegim in it. Furthermore, we also compared it to Truma. What did we learn from Truma? Actually, according to Truma, just like by Truma, Ki Yochal means Prat L'Mazik, so where you have something that is able, and here is the very disturbing word, so too, Gabay Hegdash, called the bar achila, whatever could be eaten. There, if you're mazik it, you're potter. Now that is disturbing because it has nothing to do with whether it's a dvar achila. What are we? It's true that by truma, the only case that we have by truma is truma that is shayach, maybe tachila. But what's it shayach to say? Only something that's a barachila. So whoever the mefarish is over here says that this is doesn't mean necessarily that it's barachila. But what's the point of mentioning barachila? You can't say it's lav davka. So Tosus explains, called barachila is a chedesh, that you might think that if lemaisa you were mazik something bederek achila. So let's say that you ate shemen of truma. You don't make a bracha eating shemen because it's not something that's good to eat raw on its own. Or you ate, let's say, you ate achila gas. That's not achila, you're not nene. So you might think, but nonetheless, since there's a din of pegima also, so if I pegim bederek achila, maybe at least over there it's not just called mazik. Kamashman, even a barachila, says Tais. That's the chiddush. Even a barachila, if it was derech hezek, kimazikla, you would be potter. And then we said, keitzad, natna katala al tzavaraz, if she puts a beautiful necklace around her neck, she would be moelet without being pogen. Because this is not something that you generally use in a way that is pogen. Masha'inkein, if we'd be talking about a beged which you are pogen, over there you're only chayev with pegima. Ask the Gemara, Omele Rav Kana Rav Zvid, what are you saying? That I guess you're not married, because, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. What about all the gold you give your wife, right? And then you come back at the end of the year, half of it's gone, it's wrecked. It's broken, it's rubbed away, this piece has fallen out. Don't tell me it's not going to lose its weight. How about the famous Zahav? You're saying Zahav Alav Bariv Gumir. What about the famous guy Nun? This guy was a very rich guy. And he gave an awful lot of gold to his daughter-in-laws, you know? And then they weighed that gold after a few years, and it had like only 70% of what he originally had given. So I'm asking you, how about Nuns? That's a similar. Where in the world did it go? So Zvit said to him, you know, maybe it went to the same place the gold of your daughter-in-law's went to, you know? You got to look further than your own kitchen. Basically, you know the way these women take care of gold. You know, they bake the challahs with the gold. They put it in the window while they wash their hands. Meanwhile, somebody walks off with it. Don't ask what happens to gold that you give to a woman. So Dilmat, it should say Dehech the Ramen Kalatech. It goes to the same place where your challah's gold. So you need to bring in Nun. Furthermore, so obviously they don't know how to take care of it. But I mean, what does that have to do with it? You're talking about the way a woman takes care of gold. What does that have to do with the way Hegdish takes care of gold? Why can't a woman be more like a man? So Hegdish has gold. The gold is gold. It remains the same gold. You give a piece of gold to your wife, you can kiss it goodbye. Ain't a chinami. Well, what does that have to do with the way that you're going to be male? It's still considered to be a dover that is not, you could normally use with pegima. You certainly don't call a woman's usage normal, do you? Furthermore, va'od, nehi delo ika nenu pegam la'alter, ma'olam milo ika pegima. Well, what do you think we were saying? We were saying that there's absolutely no wear and tear on gold. Obviously, that's not true. But the wear and tear, I mean, the maisa with nun, is 20 years later, they waited. You know, they tried to get an insurance policy for it. He knows that he paid. He knows how much he bought, and now they're weighing it at 70%. Okay, but that's over a lot of time. We're not saying there's no pegima at all, but in terms of determining whether this is the type of me'ila that you're only chayev with pegima, or it's me'ila that you're chayev for nena alone, this is sufficient for that purpose. Because at the time, there's no noticeable pegima at all. So b'meila, for all intents and purposes, it's a hana'ah that isn't pogim. Okay, the next thing we had in the Mishnah was that if someone is mena from a chatas, so then it would be only if he would be pogay. What are we talking about? Are we talking about a behemah to mima? If it's a behemah to mima, it's going to be used for the Beit HaMikdash. So what did you do exactly? You made it worth a little bit less. Does it matter? Who cares? There's no pegima. In other words, in terms of its usage, there's no pegima. It was before it was going to be a chatas. Now it's a chatas. It doesn't have a value at this point. That's kedushas haguf. You didn't change its kedushas haguf. So memela, why in the world would we need that you should be pogim? You were nene from something that's kadosh kedushas haguf. It would be the same as a koshel zahav. Koshel zahav, you need to measure pegima. No, you just said you don't need to measure pegima. Rav Papa, you're 100% right. The Mishnah, it's talking about the chatas, and that says there's an afkamina between the chatas when it's alive and the chatas that's dead, and that when it's alive, you need to be pogim. That's because the chatas, when it's alive, is a reference to a balasmum. So a balasmum is kedushas domim, because now it's made to be sold, and I'm going to use its value. Any change in its value, is that pruta less for hegdash? If that's the case, then I need to have a pegima, because this is something that is nifkam. If you're talking about a dead chatas, so now since ein peidus hakodashim li'achilam leklavim, it has no value and can't be measured in terms of its value. So over there, I don't need pegima because it's not shayach pegima. So suppose you were nene a chatsi pruta, and not through the hana'ah, you were pogame separately in a chatsi pruta. Or let's say you were nene a shavar pruta in one thing, that was a bar pegima, and you were pogame a shavar pruta in something else. Lo ma'al, that's not me'ila. It has to be the same thing. Achiyayene b'shavar pruta. V'yivgom b'shavar pruta. Now, b'davar achat. Now, this seems rather obvious. What would I think? That because I'm being nene at the same time, I'm tearing something else. I mean, well, it's a silly avami. So the Rambam gives a beautiful, beautiful pshat. Mamish is so... It's the only one who says this pshat in the mission. The point is like this. Suppose you have a beggar that belongs to Hegdash that has a decorative vest, let's say, that's attached to it. Right? And you want to wear that vest. So you cut it off and you put on the vest. So Lamaisa, in cutting it off, I mean, you're able to sew it back on. So it caused, at that time, a shavar pruta of pagam in the beged, but not in the vest part. You're wearing the vest. But you only are able to be nene from the vest by being pagam in the beged where you took the vest. So there you might think that this is hada al yaday pagima. So that's also considered to be hada al yaday pagima. Mashvla and the Mishnah be kiddush. That lemaisa, it's in two different molecules. The pagam is not in the thing itself, even though it all comes from that. It's a beautiful, beautiful pshat. Okay, so there, nonetheless, it's considered to be not bedavar achat. Next Mishnah, essentially, another topic completely. Ein mo'el achar mo'el b'mukdashim. The only way that you'll ever get a case where two people could be mo'el, one after the other, in the same thing, is where we're dealing with kedushat haguf. Why? Because kedushat haguf is not going to end up being mechulal by its use. You can't be motzi midei hegdash unless hegdash's rights to it are defined by dobim. But if it's defined by a kedushat haguf, the kedushat haguf doesn't disappear just because somebody uses it. And therefore, if any case that you had, whether it's Kedushas Mizbeach, whether it's Kedushas Benekabayin, where the rights of Agdash are expressed in Dami, and not in the actual body that is Kodesh, Then, the moment that it's used, it leaves its state of Kedusha, because it's monetarily Bechulah. And therefore, the next person to use it is not being Moel from Hekdesh anymore. You removed it from the Shush of Hekdesh. Masha Inkin, a behema, which has Kedusha Aguf, that's going to be brought on the Mizbeach. Or a Klishores, which is Kaddish Kedusha Aguf, and it's Bekaddish, it's in the Menachas. Those things are not going to be affected by your original Me'ilah. Chaketza. Let me give you an example. Suppose you take a carbon of Hekdesh and you ride it. You ride on a para that was meant to be brought. And then somebody else comes and he rides it. And then a third person comes and he rides it. Kulam ma'alu. Because there's no... Why should the second guy be any less than the first guy? Or if you drank a koshel zahab, comes along now the next guy he drinks, comes along the next guy he drinks. They're all moel, because it's not yotzei mishus hekdesh. Tolash menachatat. You take some of the fur of a chatat. Bach haverov talash. Bach haverov talash. The wool. Kulam malu, because you didn't do anything to the chatat. Says Rebbe, look, the klal is that kol davar she'ein bo pidyon, or some of the girsa, she'ein bo pigam, yesh bo moel akar moel, anything that you cannot change, so yeah, this has no pidyon, but that which is kadosh b'kedusha seguf, is always going to have me'ilah akar me'ilah, which sounds like exactly the Tanakh. And the Gemara is going to ask, what exactly did Rebbe say over here that is any different than what the Tanakhama said? So first of all, let's define the Mishnah. Mani mat nitin, Rebbe Nechemiah. The Mishnah that compares a koshel zahav to the din of an actual animal of a korban is the only Rebbe Nechemiah, the Tanya. Ein moel achar moel, according to the Tanakhama, there is no moel achar moel unless it's bivehima. It has to be an animal that is going to be brought on the Mizbeach. Rebbe Nechemiah, they're not, why only an animal? And how about a klisharet? Klisharet also has kedushat aguf. So what's the svar of the Tanakhama? The Tanakhama says, look, how do we know the din? And this is now a fifth pasuk that we're going to be medayik. How do we know that it's shayach mo'el achar mo'el? And that the concept of chilo that's involved in me'ilah is not chal on something like a behema, or according to Tanakhama, literally a behema, is because since it says ve'et asher chatam min hakodesh yishalem, and at the end it says hakohen yechaper lav be'el ha'ashan. Why does the kohen have to? It says beferish a moment ago that he's supposed to bring an ayel la'ashan. And then it says, V'chiper alav ha-kohen be'el ha-asham. I mean, obviously, just say, V'chiper alav ha-kohen. You said you're supposed to bring an ayel la-asham. Obviously, V'chiper alav ha-kohen with that asham. Therefore, we're mendayim that V'chiper alav ha-kohen be'el ha-asham means that you can be mo'el in the el ha-asham, meaning that even though somebody had already used the el ha-asham, it's still called the El Hasham. So in other words, it's always defined as an El Hasham, and the Kohen is Mechaper on that. You see, there's Malach HaMoel. But it's only Binyan de Behema. How do I see this, that it should it even include a Koshel Zahav? It's a special Kiddush, says the Tanakhama, that the Torah gave, Dafka by a Behema that's being brought to Mizbeach. For Rebbe Nechemiah Malacha, Rabbi Nechemiah says, well, I mean, it's a svara, no? It's a kal v'chomer. If you're telling me that the Torah says that something which is kadosh b'kedushas aguf, you're not able to take away its kedusha through being mechalalit, through be'ilah, so then kol shekin, something which is not only kadosh for its own usage, but which is so kadosh that as a kli, it's even maybe acherim l'day kedusha. So the moment that you put the minika, let's say, into klisharis, so now it becomes kadosh to be puzzled by yaitze, to be puzzled with the negiah, the tful yom, and so on. So that means that this has a kedusha that actually moves onward to be Bekadosh other things. An animal doesn't have that level of Kedusha. That's a Kal V'chol. You can't be Bechal al Behemah for the Mizbeah. Kosher can, you're not going to be able to be Bechal al an actual kosher Zav of Hekdash that's meant to be Mekadosh the Dam or Mekadosh something else. So Memela, I don't see why you say it's limited to Behemah. So Im Acherim may be the Kedushata, Hu Atzmolo Kosher can. Memela, it's the same thing as a Behemah. Here's a Tanakama holds, that Tanakama is not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says Ela Beveimah V'Klisharei Tuvah. So in other words, the point of the Tanakama is that what's unique about the Behemah is its usage for Hekdash, not just the fact that it has a Kedusha. So the type of Kedusha that it has is a Kedushat HaGuf that is being eaten by Hekdash, so to speak. It's the Lachmash of Mizbeach. That's a completely different issue. It's not the level of Kedusha should bring a Kal V'chomer from. That's not the point. Rebbe Omer, and then Rebbe seems to want to add something, that Kol Davar She'ein Lo Pidyon, Yesh Bo Moel Achar Moel. That's what we said on the Tanakama. The Tanakama brought the only two cases where you have a Kedushat HaGuf that you can't be paid on. So what exactly is Rebbe adding? Where is there another case that you have something that is Kadosh B'Kedushat HaGuf that is not either a gift to the Mizbeach or something that's used for the Mizbeach, a Kli Sharis? So it's either an animal or a Kli Sharis. Sayin Tanakama. Amar Rava, no. There's one other case. The other case is wood. Somebody donates wood as a carbon to the Mizbeach. What's the deal? So to Tanur Rabban and Ha'omer Harei Alai Eitzim Lo Yivchot Mishnei Gzirin. The Tanakama learns that these Eitzim are basically things that you use for the Mizbeach. So you can be Menadev Eitzim, and that's the Shnei Gzirin. Rebbe says, but these Eitzim are not used on the Mizbeach. Even though the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim are used for the Maharacha, the Eitzim that you donate to the Mizbeach are a korban. And since they're a korban, you have to put salt on them. Salt on wood. The wood is a korban. The Torah said, I'll call korbanecha. I have to put salt on the wood. And I would have to do tenufa, wave the wood up and down. Says Robin, according to Rebbe, the Eitzim, you can't burn with the Eitzim that they are. You'd have to use the Eitzim to burn the Eitzim. In other words, you need to use the Eitzim on the Mizbeach to burn these Eitzim. You can't light these Eitzim. Same way you don't light a shor on the Mizbeach. You put the shor on a Mizbeach that has Eitzim. These Eitzim need to be put on a Mizbeach that has Eitzim. Al ha'esh. That's the point. It's treated like a carbon across the board. Omer of Papa, it's worse than that. You need to do kmitza. Because what type of carbon is it? It can only be a carbon mincha. It's vegetable matter. So it must be you need to do kmitza. So you'll have to grind up some of the eitzim and put it in your kibitz to take a kmitza, put it on the mizbeach. Then the rest of it you'll burn also. Omer of Papa. Ledivre, Rebbe, Eitzim Tzrichim Kmitza. So Membela, it comes out that there's enough Kmitza in terms of Eitzim, if you hold like the Tanakama and like Rebbe Nechemiah. So Eitzim are not included. It might include, but it might include things like a Klisharei, the Koyt Rebbe Nechemiah, but something which is burned as a Meshamesh, that not Rebbe holds no. It's an actual carbon. There's another nafka meter of Papa Amar. You know what nafka meter between them would be? Kachim mizbeach tmimim that were nasu balei mumim. And you went ahead and you shechted them. Shalokedin. Anya, and indeed, we actually see kachim mizbeach tmimim v'nasu balei tmimim v'nasu balei mumim v'yavar v'shachatan. So we find a machlokas, Rebbe Omer Yikaveru. Why Yikaveru? Because according to Rebbe, There's nothing to be done about this because he holds Kotchei Mizbeach or Bichlal Hamad of Arocha. So since you cannot do Hamad of Arocha, even though now they're Bali Muni, but you shechted them already. Once you shechted them, there's nothing to do. And therefore, Yikaveru. Because there's no way that they have any kind of value as pinyon. Whereas the Chachomim hold Yipadu, because the Chachomim hold you don't require Hamad of Arocha by Kedush Latzaguf. We saw this Machlokas earlier. And since these things are Kedushas Domim now, that they're not Berek Habayit, so therefore they are also not considered to be a case of Moel Achar Moel. But I'll leave it a Rebbe. Since they require Yikaveru, they are Moel Achar Moel. That would be a different determination. So it's not Shayach anymore to take them out of their Kedusha. Okay, so there's two Nafkaminas according to this. One is just the particular case of Eitzim. Another Nafkamina according to Rapapa is anything. It's Nafkamina on all Korbanos where they had Kedusha Zaguf, they were Royal Mizbeach, and then they became Balei Mumin, at which point they do now have Kedusha Zdomim, and it would be Shayach Moel Achar Moel. The problem is that you went ahead in this case and you shechted them. So now, what exactly are you going to do with them? The only thing you could do with them, according to Rebbe, is bury them, because they're no longer Shayach, they require Avod of Arocha. Therefore, the level of Kedusha that they had in them is never going to be affected. There's nothing to do, because you can't. They're not made for any type of pidyon. Now, this is a tremendous extension, because Labaisa, the moment that Kedusha Zaguf became pogrom with a mum, it's now really a Kedusha Zdomim. Until now, we had a very simple distinction. Cases of Kedusha Zaguf, Moel Achar Moel. Cases of Kedusha Zdomim, Ein Moel Achar Moel. Even where we had Rebbe, who was adding the din of Korban Eitzim, is because Korban Eitzim have a Kedusha Zaguf from his Bayah. But the way Rav Papa is extending it, it's a remarkable new concept. According to Rav Papa, it's referring even to something which was once Kadesh Kedusha Zaguf, now has Kedusha Zdomim, but it's a Kedusha Zdomim that has no alternative. So there's such a thing as a Kedusha Zdomim, L'Mizbeach, that is for all intents and purposes the equivalent of Kedusha Zaguf. Because that Kedusha Zdomim includes within it the Chiyuvim that were limiting the usage of the Kedusha Zdomim that came from its Kedusha Zaguf. And that was the Chiyuv of Hamad of Arocha. And since that prevents it now from in any way losing its Kedusha, you could always be Moel Achar Moel. Very, very profound, subtle insight into what Rebbe would be saying.
Before he shechted it,
it could have been Padu. If you're giving Eitzim as a korban, and as a dinim korban.
But in the Mishnah Tainus, we're discussing the different korbanos Eitzim where people brought
no,
the wood.
No, that's wood for burning. The Yik of Rebbe there is from Laviat Korban HaEitzim. So you see a child to bring a korban HaEitzim. It must mean that it's Barambes to their bringing a korban of Eitzim, but that's not what their Kiyav was.
Wood for
of course there is. Yes, we're comparing. That's where we get to the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. But since the Eitzim that was brought for the Ma'arocha was called a korban, so you see that it's shayach to bring a korban Eitzim. That's what we're saying. Since it's shayach, what would that be? That would be the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. But that korban that you bring are not the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, and you can't use them for the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, and you'd have to do kmitza. And you'd have to put them on the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. That's what's so funny about the limit of Rebbe. That's where Pump is pointing out, Rav is pointing out. You know, that's all built into the strangeness of the drasha, right? We're taking a pasuk, which is really a reference to collecting wood for burning on the Mizbeach, and using it as seeing that it's shayach to bring a korban from Eitzim, but it itself is not what we're referring to when we're talking about the korban Eitzim. Omamar. Nefesh, mitzecher yachid, v'yachan anasi, v'yachan amashuach, v'mashmar. Yeah. Shiyachal mai, for God's sake. Pshita nefesh k'tim. No, ma'atatima. Amarach manav asher yitim imenu azar v'ay lav zaru do imshich begavei kamash malan. Now, we have three different comparisons. Let's see what we learn from each one. Akshrach manav l'seita l'avadat kochavim l'tshuba. So the seita teaches me that afak avdelo pagam, in which case gavei hegdash nami, it's shayach on something that is not nivgam, to be chayev without begimah. So let's say, natnatabat biyada, ma'ala. Okay, how about the hekesh tavadat kochavim? That tells me adi'it pei shinui, because that's a shinui of your rishos. So gabi hekesh nami, adabika bekardom vivgom. And again, according to Tosfos, this is dafka libet ravuna, but be'etzem, any shinui rishos of hekesh, you would be chayev. Atzrachmana l'truma to tell me that just like truma has to be kiyochal prat l'mazik, gabi egdish nami, even a barachila, as does this learns, and you eat it b'derech hazeka ki mazik le'patu. There's no ana. Ketzad natna kitala omer of kadal rizvi. I don't understand how the Mishnah could say that the hava is lavar is gumehu. What about the Hava de Kalatech Didon? Leicha Azal? Omalei, I'll tell you. Maybe it went to the same place. You already had a Kalot Zav went. They don't know how to take care of Zahav. Vod Nehidelo Ika Nene Upagam La'alta. But the case of Nun was they waited years later. So over time, of course, and certainly La'olami Lo Ika Pagima is always going to be a certain amount of wear and tear. But wear and tear is not short-term enough to be measurable as nene and parking. Hanene min achatat michte. What are we talking about? We're talking about a bema tamima. So then it's a kosher zahav. What's the chayach to say that it's pergim? How's it pergim? Omer of papa bebalat mumaskirim over there. It's pergim the value of the bema. Nene ki bechatsi peruta o pagam ki chatsi peruta. O nene bishava peruta bedavar achad. Upagam b'shavah pruta b'davar acher, lo ma'alat shiyane b'shavah pruta v'yivgam b'shavah pruta b'davar achad. Ein mo'el achar mo'el b'mugdashim, ela b'veima v'chli sharet b'uvat. Ketzat, rachav aga b'veima, bachav erov rachav, kula mo'el. Shata b'kosha zahav, bachav erov shata, kula mo'el. Talash menachatat, bachav erov talash, kulam malu. Rabbi Omer, kol davar she'en lo pidyon, yesh po moel achar moel. So now, mani matniti. Rabbi Nechemia, because the Tanya Kama is saying, even a kosher zahav, that's only Rabbi Nechemia shita, the Tanya. Ein moel achar moel, ela b'veima bilvad, Rabbi Nechemia omer b'veima uchli sharet. My time at the Tanya Kama, Kasava be inyanat beim aktiv. The aktiv, the whole makor for mayel achar mayel is the pasuk of be'el asham. Rabbi Nachemya says, "What? Why dafka limited to that? It's kavachom. A kosher zahav's kedusha is even bigger because im acherim maybe the kedusha tan who had smaller koshkin. How if you put in something that becomes kadosh kedusha zaguf into a kos?" Does it get that Kedusha Zaguf by virtue of its being in the coast? But the type of Kedusha Zaguf of the coast is not considered to be a Kedusha Zaguf to be Me'alach or Me'al. Does that make sense to you? So it's a Lokoshike. Rabbi Omer called Avasha in Lopidion, Hanatanakama. Omar Rava, no, because Ikebeneo Eitzim, the Tanah Rabbana. Omer Areal Eitzim. Loyevchot Mishnei Gzirin. Rabbi says, Eitzim, when you say Areal Eitzim, it's a mamish carbon, v'tuni melach, v'tuni tnufa, omarov, according to what Rebbe is saying, eitzim need eitzim. And as Ezra Pope, according to Rebbe, eitzim need kmitzim. It's a type of mincha. Rav Papa Amar, it's a simple difference between them. Rebbe says the klal is whether it's shayach pidyon. So the nafkamina would be, if you hold that koche mizbeach require ha'amada v'haracha. So in a case where you had something that was tummy, so I had real koche mizbeach, came about more. Now you were not in your shochet. So at that point, it's not shayach to be paid to it. That's the nafkamina ikabinai. Because, and it's the bright itself says, this is what Tanya. Kach Mizbeach Tmimi. Nasu Bali Mumi Mava Vashachtan, Rebbe Omer Yikaveru, and therefore, in Lehem Pidyan, Vachachamim Omrim Yipadu, says someone now who went ahead and used it, would still be Mailed Aliba to Rebbe. Even if you're Nena, Achashkita. That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you show here the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11. All right. Yesterday, gentlemen, we're coming here to the crux of the Ela issues. And unfortunately, the Masechta is a bit too small for its own good. There's so many sugyas that are left, min ha-sugyot ha-kashot shebishas, that are left kimad untouched. I mean, we haven't really begun the inyanim me'ila. We've talked about until now only the objects upon which one can perform me'ila. But what exactly me'ila is still very, very much an enigma. Yesterday we had the seminal brisa over here from the Taras Kohani, which compares the dinim of Me'ila to three things. We were medayik in the pasuk, these three things. So on the one hand, we compare Me'ila to a sota, because it says that a sota is ma'ala b'isha. On the other hand, we compare Me'ila to Bnei Yisrael who went and to be ma'al b'Hashem, but they went Achre Habalim, in other words, it's to Avodat Kochavim. And on the third level, we compare the Me'ila to Truma. And that was because of the Gzeirah Shoga, of Chet, Truma, famous and very fundamental Gzeirah Shoga that everyone is familiar with in Kiddushin, to the dinim of Shliach Lidvar Avera. But in our Sugya, it had many, many more implications than simply the issue of Shliach L'Dvar Avera. Now you'll note that these three things actually represent three very different types of Me'ila. And the question is, when do we apply the different types? The comparison to a sota is a woman who bedavka has been married for some time. In other words, she is not a betula by definition. If her husband never slept with her, even though she was married, she couldn't have become a sota. It has to be mibaladei sheikh. Your husband has to have slept with you first. So by definition, there is no pigam. Since she's not a virgin, there's nothing to be pogam. She's used, but she isn't used up. And therefore, from there we learn the din of me'ila, that if someone takes pleasure in hegdish, the way you take pleasure in a woman, without being pogame, there's a din of me'ila. And on the other hand, the truma tells us that the misuse of truma is by definition consumption. You can't misuse truma unless you're consuming it. So all of the dinim, it's an isra of achila, of anar, to use up the truma. So that was a challenge. We had to define clearly what is meant by the type of me'ila, which is truma-oriented, and we ended up saying that it's essentially consumables. Those things that are meant to be used, those are the things that are defined by the truma type of me'ila that you use up. And over there, you need, in fact, not only to be nehene a shavapruta, you need to be pogame a shavapruta. You need to have caused the shavapruta, have lost the object. What's more, and this is very important, as we'll see in the upcoming Mishnayos, the thing that you were nene from has to be the thing that you were pogame. It is possible to conceive of cases where you would be pogame at the same time that you're being nene, but they would be in two different issues. For instance, You need a patch for a coat. So you take a patch off of a coat of Hegdash, in which you're pogame the coat of Hegdash. But your nene, by patching your coat, which has nothing to do with the fact that you were pogame, other than you needed to be pogame to get the patch. Now over there you would be nene in one object, pogame in another object. That would not fit the rules of Truma. So we saw all of that yesterday in the comparison to Truma. Then we have a third type of mi'ilah, which we haven't even discussed yet throughout the Masechta, which is amazing, because that's the most prevalent mi'ilah. And that is the comparison to Avodat Kochavim. Now the comparison to Avodat Kochavim is Yitziyah Mirushut to Rushut. In other words, you go out of the Rushut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, and you're nichnas into the Rushut of Avodat Kochavim. And by the way, I must tell you, there's something extremely profound about that, because most people don't recognize that that's the essence of Avodat Kochavim. Remember that the Rambam defines the nature of the original movement towards idolatry as being one big error of paths. And what is that error? He says it's such an immense error that that's what caused everything, but it's very subtle. So what is that error? That people said that in the same way that if a king has a prime minister, so it's expected that if you don't give honor to the prime minister, then obviously you're insulting the king. So the honor of the king demands that you honor the prime minister. So too, they said, God's honor demands that we honor that which God has honored. And since clearly we are programmed to respond to certain things in the world in ways differently than we respond to other things, so Andy Warhol, notwithstanding, we don't bow down to Campbell's soup, but we do bow down to the sun as part of our natural genetic makeup. Those things are things in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows himself, so to speak. As Dovah HaMelech says, when I see your handiwork, when I look up at the sky and I see the sun and the stars and so on, that makes an impact on me. Okay, so if that's the case, then God has earmarked those issues as being things that lead people to spirituality and to connection to Him. So why should we not honor those things? And that was the mistake that led to Avodat Kochavim. Now, what is wrong with it? Why is that a mistake? Everything else, we have a general rule. Malchusa de'ara kein malchusa de'rakia. The things in which we feel, which have developed through our own evolution, which are part of our genetic makeup, that we discover to be meaningful for us in the way we arrange our society and our hierarchies and so on. And this, by the way, is fundamental. It's amazing. There was an article in this week's Time magazine, The God Gene. The Mishugayim, the whole point, they think that they have reduced religion to genetics by discovering that there's a gene that causes you to believe in God. Understand? The stupidity of it. The whole point of Avraham Avinu was, but that's why the Rambam brings history, part of the nature of the dinim of Avodas Kochavim, is that the fact that we are programmed genetically defines the nature of Avodah Zarah. That's the whole issue. Remember, there's the famous Rambam about why we bring karbanos and so on and so forth, that it's part of being a mammal, is that you need to grow up with a sense of security, because otherwise the whole evolution of mammals would have been impossible. If you would have been a lizard, you never would have believed in God. And so on. I mean, these are obvious issues. We use them not to... to take away from the elements of what it is that Avodah Shamayim consists of, but rather to discover them. So therefore, I mean, it was Avraham Avinu's insight that if these things exist, there's no way to ignore them. And this becomes the reason why we're not allowed to take haircuts like Hare Krishna. Why not? Because you think it's a coincidence that human beings all over the world use their hair as a sign of something or other. Obviously, it's part of evolution. You have evolved in such a way that your hair means something. And there are ways in which you express your religious feelings through your hair, and therefore you're not allowed to do that. Because it's part of your acceptance of Avodas Kochavim. So now the question is, if that's the general rule, then what is wrong with that original mistake? Why is it a mistake? I want to honor those things that God has honored. And the solution to this is exactly what the entire sugya here is built on. If you're talking about a king and a prime minister, it is possible to honor the prime minister, and therefore one does so.
But if one is talking about God and the Son, there's only one way to honor the Son, to make it important. To say that I do things for you. Not that I can do anything to you, not that I can give you anything, but that my life is defined by the glory of the Son. But if I do that, then I'm leaving the Rishus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which subsumes the Son. Since we're only talking about Rishuyos, either you're in one Rishus, you're in another Rishus. As if you're in the subsuming Rishus, then that's where you are. If not, you're in another Rishus. There is no way to give kavod to the Son. When a human being walks into your home, you're mechabed him with a cup of coffee. You can't give the Son a cup of coffee, which is obviously what people try to do. They bring sacrifices and so on. And that itself, the sacrifice isn't meaningful. It's the symbolism of the idea that my life is defined by this concept. But then it was defined by that concept that is not defined by the overall subsuming concept. You can't have it both ways. Therefore, the nature of Avodas Kochavim is essentially shinui mirashut l'rashut. You're going from one spatial definition into another spatial definition.
Do you call those rashuts in nature and above nature?
That's already, I don't want to get into this in any complex way, but the Gemara is taking for granted that the nature of Me'ila, that's Mechudash for Avodas Kochavim, is a completely different concept. It's not use, and it's not using up, which we learn out from Truma and from Sota. It is change.
That pasuk that we brought yesterday about Hamir, that pasuk leads to that same question about Hamir, about Hakem.
Yeah. Tamura Lagabi.
The pasuk of Yamim about what is also the same shorish of switching God.
That's what we're talking about. I'm saying that's what we're learning from that pasuk, because that defines the nature of an Azura, and therefore Me'ila has those elements in it. But what this means is that our concept up until now, which we took for granted, that Me'ila is defined somehow by your embezzlement in terms of Bedek HaBayit. Remember, we've gotten a little bit sophisticated in this. We've noted that there's two types of Me'ila. We've recognized that Me'ila is not entirely a monetary issue, even though it's defined by monetary shiurim. That it's not simply a question of Hegdish's ownership that will create the Me'ila of misuse. That it has to do with a perversion of the intent of the Haggadashah, the original Haggadashah. Therefore, there are nafkamines between Berek HaBayit, between Kachi Mizbeach, and a lot of Prote Dinim. We have not yet been omit on this idea of Shinui Rishus, in which Lichaora, if I take something of Hegdish, and I go and I give it to someone as a gift. Now, I haven't been nana at the moment. You could say, ultimately, I'll be nana, because after all, the guy will give me something back. I mean, whatever you want to say. Or, in the Rambam's example, I buy a ticket to a movie. I'm not nana until I go into the movie theater. But I have my ticket. So what are you going to say? The ticket is a hana? The ticket's not a hana. But in having given the cash to the person who's selling the ticket, somehow or other I am being moel. So how do we relate that to the hanah? By the way, if you would have thought about it yesterday, you would have immediately seen that this must be an element of it. Because when we say you can misuse Hegdish funds for Hegdish, in other words, I could take money that was miyuad for a particular use in Hegdish, and I'll take that money and I'll buy a carbon with it from Hegdish. And bring the carbon to Hegdish. So I mean, I said, what am I doing? I haven't done anything. Over there we spoke about the Ahana, and it was Machlokas, whether it's the bringing it to the Azora, or it's the Zrikas Adar. Now hold on a second. I don't do the Zrikas Adar. I did an act of purchase. But in buying something from Hegdish, I did not take anything out of the reserves of Hegdish, did I? So at the moment of Zrika, you're going to say, but you're then at the moment of Zrika. That's just something that comes afterwards. It's not something that I did. So Mamonashach, if you're telling me that Ana is bringing the carbon, so how do you justify that it's only Me'il at the moment of Zrika? And if you hold that it's the Ana at the moment of Zrika, so how can it be Mechayev for doing what wasn't done by me? It's a major discussion in the Achronim. How does this work, Bechlal? Again, in technical terms, you know, the Achronim use their technical terms. the Tanoh is the Tanai, and the Me'ilah, and the Me'ilah is the use, and so on. I don't want to get into the type of words that are used to describe this. I think that we would be limiting ourselves, really, before we get an overall sense. But it's clear that it's not the Hanoah, the act of the Hanoah, per se. And it's clear that it's not the simple changing of the Rishus that needs to be linked to at least the possibility of utilization. There needs to be an overall sense of what Me'ilah means that has to come through now in these next few pages. We only have a few pages left. That allows us to have a theory of Me'ilah that includes essentially three different modes that are interrelated. Pegima, Hanor, and Shinui Rishus. And that's basically what we've begun to discuss here in the Gemara now, in a very confusing way, tries to be magdir a little bit of what we've done by having these three examples. But before we get to that, we just pretend, really, that what we're doing is going through the Brice as a whole, that we did yesterday. And as I said, that Brice is the fundamental, central core of the whole Masechta. One Brice in the Tereskanim, out of which come all of the Dinim of Me'ilah, in all of their details. So we started off by saying, Omama. We're now to Daf Yotes, and we're holding there right at the sixth line. Omar Mar, Nefesh, since it says a soul who has gone now to be Moel, and from there we learned out this grand Chiddush, doesn't matter whether you're an individual, doesn't matter whether you're the president, whether you're the king, whether you're the Mashuach of Hegdish, of you're the Kohen Gadol, they're all included. And what is that supposed to mean, says the Rashi? Yachomai, yes. Because I would have thought, explain to me, what would you have thought, darling? Tell me. What would you have thought? I mean, all of a sudden, you have a mitzvah in the Torah. The Torah's talking to everybody. I would have thought that, yes, go ahead. I understand. Does it say nefesh? I don't know how to read. It says somebody that sins. Well, I have to be medayek. It could have said ish. It says nefesh. What's the hakamina over here, Bichlal? Answers the Gemara, because ma'al detema, I might have said, I'll tell you. Since when we do have an example, a specific case in the Torah, when we have a specific law about the misuse of the Shemen HaMishra. Now, over there the Torah says, Omer HaKaman HaVashir Yitein Mimeno Al Zar. Now, what does a Zar mean? Nobody's allowed to use the Shemen HaMishra. So, if it comes now to understanding what that means, I would say, okay, a Zar, by definition, would mean someone who himself has not entered into the world of the Shemen HaMishra. He's not a person that should be involved with Shemen HaMishra. I mean, after all, it's a Kohen Gadol. Then he needed himself to have that Shemen HaMishra. If he's the king, so maybe they were Mashiachim. I mean, what if he's Mashiach? By definition, they were Mashiachim, right? So maybe by him, he's not a czar, and there's no problem of using the Shemen HaMishra. If that's the case, that someone who is on that darga becomes now a functionary of Hegdash, in a sense owned by Hegdash himself, and therefore he can't be moral either. I mean, that's what I would have thought. There, Vailam Zaru, the Imshir, the government. I mean, after all, he has used this himself to be Mashuach.
But he is over, right?
What?
They are over, right?
Yes, as we saw the whole circuit before, the Gaviaron, and he was afraid that he was being moral, and so on and so forth. So therefore comes along now, Kamashvan, this nefesh to include even these cases in which you would have thought that this doesn't include a zar, that's the point of zaros. Any nefesh is essentially zaros.
Now, at the wrong time.
Right. Right. Now, take away this vav. This is very misleading. We now begin the meat of the issue over here. Akshe Rachmano Lesota, La'avadat kochavim, or the truma. Now the Torah has given us three separate sources of how to deal with the dinim of Me'ilah. And what's horrible about this Gemara is that it doesn't really explain in detail the issues that come from these three inyanim. And Tosfos is very bothering me. Why do you take this example? Why not take that example? And exactly why the Gemara sets it up in this fashion, we would have to go through in ways that are longer than we have available here in time. But lemaisa, these are just elements that we're about to discuss. They're not all of the elements. So sota, we saw. Afagav de lo pagam. Even though by definition, A sota has already been married. A sota has already lost her virginity to her husband by definition, or she can't be a sota. So there's no way to be pogay her. You're not going to change her body. So gabe hegdesh nami. By hegdesh we have the same thing. Natna tabat biyada. She puts a jewelry, a ring of hegdesh on her hand. At that moment she's moral. And even though she's not going to use it up, but she's moral. Now that the Torah is compared to Avaris Kechav, now this is really bad. and because it is as bad as it is, there's many changes in the Giras over here. What it seems to be saying is, the Adi Isbe Shinui, by Avaris Kechav, by definition, you have changed where it is that you live. Skabe Hegdesh Name, by Hegdesh 2, we would have to say, and here is where it ruins it all, Ad the bika bekardum veyivgam pogum. Until you use a hoe and you in some way use it up, which is exactly what we don't learn out of Avodas Kechavim, is what we learn out of Truma. So this is really crazy. Because of this, first of all, the yivgam pogum, according to most Gersos, is not here, bichla. And that doesn't mean you have to be pogame, because that's not what we learn. How do you be pogame by Avodas Kechavim? And that can't be what we're learning by Avodas Kechavim. And the shaila of why it says, Bechlal ad bika bekardom, which is very strange. So Tosis gives an interesting explanation. Haba. Yeah, I know. That's the Barnea approach too, you know. Close your eyes and let it soak in. It works for about, 30 seconds or so. So what happens is that you have to take into consideration another issue over here. The other issue is like this. And this is something that comes up all the time. Who is doing the Shinui Rishus? If he is the one in charge of Hegdesh, he's the Gizbar. Now, a gizbar is actually a technical term when it comes to Me'ilah, not a term that simply identifies a functionary of the Beit HaMikdash who's in charge of money. Because let's say you set aside money to be used, maybe to buy a korban or something, then you become the gizbar, technically, on that money, according to many shittas. And therefore, there's a very important difference, and that difference is between being a gizbar and not being a gizbar. Technically, is that if you're a non-gizbar, then whatever use you make of this thing that involves giving it to someone else, you give it to a storekeeper or whatever, at that moment you were motzi merishos hegdesh and so on. And what's more, if you use it in such a way, then your use has removed it from merishos hegdesh, because now you are saying, okay, now it's mine. But if you're a gizbar, your use wouldn't take it from merishos hegdesh, because after all, it was in your merishos before, as the one who's taking care of it for Hegdesh. So it's not the use per se that would matter, when only where you actually transfer it that would matter. That makes a big difference. Says Tosfos, the reason we talk over here about a hoe that will be used might be Aliba de Rav Huna. And that's all he says. It doesn't explain precisely what he means. But what he's referring to is the shita that if you lend someone something, then until he uses it, you can abrogate the lending agreement. So in other words, you borrow my hoe. And I say, okay, here, you can use my hoe. I could come running after you, wait a minute, I need my hoe, I change my mind. Whereas once you use it, then the Mishnah has shiurim, how long was that she'ela fully, you have an actual kinyan on it. So it's only coming to add over here that in terms of the shinui rishus, and that shinui rishus can be done through an act of lending, just as easily as anything else. Lending is also an act of shinui rishus. You now take the place of the balin, which is why you become responsible for events that are out of your control and so on, just like the owner is responsible, so to speak, for events that's your loss. And therefore, it adds over here to use it, not because we're talking about pegima, which we certainly do not learn out of Avodas Kechavim, but because we're talking about a change in rishus, and the balin is looked at as the gizba. That's how many achronim understand and what it is that the Tosfos is saying over here, and it pops up again and again and again. Our Masechta is a very small Masechta, but the sugyas of Me'ila pop up all over the place, and this is a very important issue to deal with. Who is the Gizbar? Yeah.
Well, in boring the hoe, there's a certain piece of that which is securing the hoe, and then there's a part of using it. There's hana when you have something already resolved in yourself. Why isn't that the kind of hana? Why is that?
It is. And again, I want to point out, by the way, the Rambam actually speaks out that idea when he talks about buying your ticket to the movies. That there's an element of the fact that you could now go into the movie whenever you want to, even though you haven't yet. In other words, there's that aspect of a hana. That's how he describes it. It's not that that is the hana.
There's a different kind of hana.
Hana
zuta. No, yeah, but it's linked to the actual potential for the hana itself that is going to be a real hana. But I just want to point out that you can't ask that question necessarily. Because, remember, the hana per se is not sufficient in a case where pegima is possible. Mm-hmm. For instance, why not? I mean, either the Torah is matpid on hana, or it's not. If it's matpid on hana, what's the difference whether I'm pogame or I'm not pogame? This is one of the strangest kind of things over here. Normally, with the Torah asks consumption, and that consumption is an isra hana, it matters not in the least. Whether the consumption used up something or whether, the point is, you're not supposed to be nenef from Avodas Kechavim. No. So now it matters whether I cost the Avodas Kechavim the same amount of money that I was nenef from the Avodas. What does that have to do with it? There's an Isur, I'm not allowed to do it, and that's all there is to it. Over here, because of the linkage of the monetary value, which is the way in which I define the Hana, to the ownership issues, I come up with a very complex formula that we have not yet formulated exactly how each element interrelates. But there's three different elements that need to be taken into consideration. Sometimes the case removes consideration of one. So if it's something that you cannot be pogame in its normal usage, then that doesn't become an element of the formula, set it aside. You're putting on a ring. A ring is meant to be used for hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years. It's not something that we measure in terms of loss. And therefore the monetary element becomes measurable only in view of how much did you get out of it. You see what I mean? So the same thing is true in terms of the Shinui Rishus, where the issue is removal from the Rishus of Ekdash. There the Hana'a element becomes almost a condition rather than the actual act. And I mentioned before, that's what Tznai means. It's a condition of what defines Me'ila rather than it's being the actuality of Me'ila. It's a virtual analog to the Me'ila. Again, I'm just throwing out things loosely. Hopefully we'll be able to tighten it up. But this would be the way that we would understand this last piece of Pegima. And then Atrach, when a Litruma, just like by Truma, it says Ki Yochal Prat L'Mazik Gabe Hegdesh Nami. So by Truma, damaging the Truma is not being Mechayev me, even though there's a monetary loss to the Truma. I need to eat the Truma.
You're not over on those Loyalta, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not Chayev in the din of Chomesh. Chomesh, because it was a separate issue. So over here, by Hegdesh Nami, anything which is a bar achil, anything that can be eaten, chematically, if you simply ruin it and you're not nene from it, then you would be potter. Now the question over here is bothers Tosfos is, why did you talk about food all of a sudden? I mean, yes, food of course is what truma is, but we didn't mean a literal translation of truma into hektish. I mean, because we were talking about using up a hoe, for instance. I mean, not eating the hoe, you're consuming the hoe in a different way. When we say the consumer, we don't mean the guy who is eating up the TV programs. We're talking about the guy who's paying for them and watching them. I mean, so why are you literally moving into food to talk about consumables? It's strange. I mean, Tosis offers as a possible solution to the language that the reason we wanted to talk about eating is to tell me a tremendous chiddush, which is that in the act of eating per se, it's possible to view it as damage. So let's say you're eating Entenmann's donuts. You can't view that as actual eating, because you couldn't get cockroaches to eat that stuff. So that's not precisely the case that this brings. What he talks about is overeating. Let's say you eat an achilagas. Now clearly that is
not. I mean, even the term is Yom Kippur, that's not eating. Stuffing yourself is not eating. So it's destructive to the food, but you can't really call it eating. And that's why I want to talk about that. Even if you would eat and do the act of eating, it would be out there a chesed, you would also be potter in terms of meila. So it's to tell me that chidush, that he uses the word eating, but he doesn't mean literally eating. You'd be potter. Right. Because that's not the real, that's damaging, that's not eating, even though you damage through the act of moving your mouth and swallowing it.
You have to milk it for what it's worth. And what it's worth is not just the damage is one aspect. It's not.
Isn't that a
shinui? I don't know, but you have to look at it like that. You have to look at it. Yes, but the shinui rishus is where it's defined by the shinui rishus.
And because I didn't need it, I haven't changed rishus?
Because it's something, that's why the Torah compares it to three different things. Where, in other words, what I intend to do defines things over here. That's how the Rambam used the Begad Mitzvah yesterday. It's my intent. I want to use this thing without consuming it. So if I bedavka put it on as an intermediary Begad, so then that's the reason that it becomes like a Tabat. That's consistent with the whole approach of the Rambam. No. Because the Torah specifically excludes Re'efa below Hekdesh from the Zikya. No, it would be no Chiyav unless the Bailim has, that's the question. Dovragram Lomomim is Kachim Kalim Lomomim Bailim, and the Gemara discusses all of these issues in many places, but it's not in terms of the Chiyav of Hekdesh. Right? According to Moshe, there's one man the Amro Hells, Re'efa below Hekdesh, because it means you're not limited in the name of the Zikya to Hekdesh, but the Derech Klal, normative halacha, is that there's no din of nezik in Bechol. Ketzad. Natna ktala, but this is really a Gemara that is a nechama for all those who are incensed at the way their wives treat the jewelry that they give them. And asks the Gemara, Ketzad, natna ktala, she puts a necklace around her neck. Obele Rav Kanel Ruzvit. So Rav Kahana asked Rav Zvid, I don't understand. You're telling me the Hava Lav Yigumehu, that when you use gold, you don't wreck the gold? All I know is that our good friend Mr. Noon over there, who gave his daughter-in-law tons of beautiful jewelry, and he just asked her to weigh it a few years later, and it was like half gone, you know? So how the Hava the Kalate the Noon? How about Noon's daughter-in-law? Lahecha Aza, where did all that gold disappear to? Omar Leh, so he said, you know, Dilma the Hava, the Ramian Kalatech, or maybe it's the Ramian Kalatech. It went to the same place that your daughter-in-law's gold went to. Where do you think it went to? She stuck it in some kind of crazy place, didn't care, didn't give a hang about it, so it fell out of the window, went into the garbage disposal. Now, who knows what these women do with gold? You're gonna ask what happens to gold jewelry that you give a woman. Furthermore, and besides, your kasha, I mean, from experience is really not much of a question. I mean, obviously gold gets used up. That's not the point. Gradually, yes, it'll be eaten away by rubbing and so on and so forth. But nihidalo ika neno pagam la alter. I mean, all we're saying is that there's no direct relationship between a particular usage and a using up. That's all we're saying. We're not saying that there isn't a gradual wearing down. Of course there is. You're talking about Nun. 10 years later, he wants to see how much is left of what he's given to his daughter-in-law. Just to put her in her place. You know, okay. So we figured you used up $500,000 in 10 years, you know. Take it into consideration. But that doesn't turn it into something. It's not a comestible. I mean, it's a different issue over here.
There are reports, there's studies about how much gold gets actually rubbed away each year.
Really?
Yeah. And I think it's somewhere in the vicinity of 1% or something like that actually gets rubbed away.
But it's recovered, ultimately.
Ultimately, yeah. I would assume it's recovered.
And that's the whole beauty of gold.
We do look at the long-term results.
No, what's unique about gold is that it's so easy to recover. It's easy to recover gold because the nature of gold is it doesn't combine with anything. All you got to do is heat things, and out comes the gold. That's what was so unique about gold. It was viewed as something that was supernatural because it wasn't decayable. Right. That's why people believe it was the secret of life. That's the Egel Azov. People would drink gold. There's powder gold. And I mean, it's something about the way the Zohar puts it. It's not part of this world. It was given to this world in order to be able to make a Mishkan out of it. But I mean, nothing else in this world is so...
It's not corruptible.
That's what they call it, the incorruptible metal.
And he said, by Meidel, we do look at the long term. He said,
sorry?
We just said a few pages earlier, with by Meidel, we do look at the long term. Ashlo Shani.
No, that's in terms of tziruv, not in terms of definition. But in terms of usage, that it should be the hanah linked to the usage. Gold is certainly not a hanah linked to the usage, unless you're drinking gold. I mean, but normally to use a gold container, to put on a piece of gold jewelry, you don't look at it as something that uses up, even though ultimately it does. You know, yeah, it's the type of thing that which people don't realize when they're driving their cars, even they're using it up. You know, the fact is, every mile on your car is using it up. That we do recognize as using up. Over here, there's no direct measurable connection. You know? So therefore, what are you asking? So over a period of years, she used up her jewelry? Of course she used up her jewelry. Well, what do I care how? Whether it's in a garbage disposal or whether it's simply by rubbing along as she's doing the dishes. That's what he's doing. These are two different things. Think, first of all, how do you ask a kashan a woman about what they do with their jewelry? God only knows what they do with their jewelry. But even if it wouldn't be a woman's jewelry, I mean, what's your kashan? That gold gets rubbed away. Of course gold gets rubbed away.
There's a new the new Samsung developed a new type of washing machine. You heard about it, right? It's an amazing idea. Mom, it's amazing. And it's selling like crazy. They have it in the States, right? In which they use a piece of silver. The piece of silver is rubbed away over years, rubbed away gradually, to tiny little microscopic pieces of silver that go into your clothing. But it turns out that the microscopic silver prevents the growth of bacteria that give your clothes the smell of being dirty.
There's some shiny too, huh?
Right? So this is laundry that never smells.
It doesn't have anything to do with cleaning.
Doesn't have anything to do with cleanliness. No, I mean, it also is a washing machine.
Right, no, but I mean...
But you get the plus out of it. I mean, silver, they use silver also in water filters to prevent growth of bacteria for the same reason. It's probably how they came up with the chop. They put a little block of silver in it that's made to wear down. It takes years and years. You're talking about mom's microscopic reason. Your clothes never smell.
And nowhere on the machine because of the machine isn't corroding?
No, a little piece of silver gradually. I'm saying, atke de kach, it's such a gradual process. You know, would you even use that, call that a consumable? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like amazing. Okay, so that's what he's saying. Of course, ultimately it wears down, but that's not the point.
It's silver to the drum, but...
Yes.
Just throw a few coins.
Yeah, you got silver coins. This is serious stuff. You're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. You can laugh. This is it, baby. This is where the new world is.
They wouldn't use gold as easily expensive.
I don't know if gold would work. Silver has a particular...
These things can cause adverse health effects eventually.
No doubt.
Ah, killjoy.
I bet you don't use lead pipes.
If you develop the brief, you can sell it to Samsung for a heck of a lot of money. Amen and minhachatos.
Shut up.
Now, this was a little bit strange. It's the Mishnah said amen and minhachatos. Remember, we said yesterday that actually, we're going to talk in the Mishnah, what type of chatos are we talking about? Here it says, you nenef from a chatos, while the chatos is alive, there's no me'ila. Now, we thought that meant mikhti. We're talking about a behemah. We're talking about a behemah to me. So, it depends how do you understand it. Nenef from a chatos, kishkaya, lomal achi yivgom? There's a pegima in the use of a chatos? Well, I understand. A chatos that's a behemah to me, it's going to be used on the mizbeah. What exactly is the pegima? Your tolesh misaron. Tolesh minachatas actually is the gerusa in the Mishnah. So what exactly are you doing? Are you making it less suitable for the mizbeach? What does the mizbeach care? I mean, it's a totally unimportant to the mizbeach whether it's got all of its hair or not, right? And so memela, it doesn't, the Gemara assuming that's a yibbehemet tmima. Isn't that a koshel zaha? What are you saying? I mean, there is achiv gom. By koshel zav, there's the achiv gom. It's perfectly usable whether you're pogim or not. So what does the Mishnah mean? Amrapapa b'ba'alat mumaskin. We're talking about a chatas that is omedet li macher. And therefore it's worth money. With money, we define it by monetary loss. So we go back to our other mode of calculation, which is pegina. Where is Sabatash this morning? Alright, then you'll have to take over. Let's say that the amount of hana'a that the person gets is a chatzipa, but he also caused the pegim of a chatzipa. Or maybe it was nene b'shava pruta b'davar achad u'pagam b'shava pruta b'davar acher, the Rambam's famous case that we just spoke about, taking a patch off of a coat of Hegdash, which is pogim in the coat, and then using that on his own coat, which is mishabeach, his mashbiach, his coat by a shava pruta, but it's two different objects. Oh, I mean, this all we saw was in the Brisa, right, that learns it out from Truma, just like the Truma has to be the Pegima, and the Hana has to be the same object. Lo ma'al, achi yane b'shava pruta, v'yifgom b'shava pruta, b'davar achat. Okay, that's our first sugi. Next sugi. Ein mo'el acher mo'el b'mugdashim. Now here, another example of how this Masechta takes shortcuts. And this is a tremendous sugi. Fantastic machlokas we're showing in Mina Katze Ela Katze. How does Moel Acher Moel work? Essentially, what we've been assuming here is that the Limud from Avodas Kochavni teaches us about the transference of Hekish from one Rishus to another. Now, if that is really part of the fundamental formula of Hekish, Hana'a, Pegima, and Shinui Rishus. If it's part of the fundamental formula, then by definition, if I do an act of Mechila, the next guy that comes along cannot be Moel in what I was Moel, because it's no longer Hegdash. So if the Shinui Rishus is effective, and that's part of the Mechila, then you can't be Moel after me. Now, one of the fascinating issues of Mechila, that again barely comes up here in the Masechta, but is clear all over Shas, is that there's a surprising difference between a shogeg and a mazid. The shog, first of all, the whole theory of Megillah is only set on the shogeg. On the mazid, you don't have these theories. And what's more, it's only the shogeg who believes that he's not using Hegdash, who effectuates the Shinui Rishus, takes it out of the Rishus of Hegdash into another Rishus. The mazid who intends to do so is utilizing Hegdash, and he cannot override the Hegdash by his arbitrary determination to make it non-Hegdash.
So he's not Moel?
He's not, doesn't cause the Shinui Rishus. He's over on the Isser of the misuse of Hegdash. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the effect of Me'ilah.
Oh, in that case, there could be Me'ilah or Me'ilah.
And in that case, there could be Me'ilah or Me'ilah. So again, the Mishnah leaves out that fundamental distinction. Leaves it up to us to decide whether we're talking about a shogeg or a mazid. This becomes a major machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid, and how to understand them. And the Ravid goes to town on the Rambam over here. Well, he's done it again. Made up the whole halacha himself. Doesn't have a single smock. Not from a Mishnah, not from a Baisa. But, okay, you know, just the way he does things. It appears that he had a somewhat different gears than the Mishnah himself, actually. So, in any event, the Me'ilah Acher Me'ilah B'Mugdashim, there are, as I said, extremes in how to understand this. Because there should also be enough Kabina between Hegdash B'Rekabayis and Hegdash Mizbeach. Because if something is Kedushat HaGuf, it's not omed to be changed from one Rishus to another, or it doesn't have any particular mode of being pogame in it, So then that means if I cut shei mizbeach, there ought to be less of the possibility of shinui rishus, and therefore there would be a mayal achar mayal. And interestingly enough, that's exactly how the Rambam learns. That our Mishnah, when it's talking about ein mayal achar mayal b'mugdashim, is referring to kachet b'erek abayis. And therefore, when it says ela beima v'kli sharet, it doesn't mean kli sharet. How does b'erek abayis have kli sharet? It means klei tashmesh shenser, things that you would be using, which no one else learns in this, which everybody understands. What we're talking about is, we're talking about behemah and klisharis, we're talking about, basically, kachi mizbeach, things that are meant to be used for the mizbeach in their own selves. Therefore, since it's the thing itself which is used, so you're not mishana rishus, that's not the issue. It's not the balut, it's not the monetary value, it's the kedushat haguf. Kedushat HaGuf isn't going to change just because he used it. So the next person who comes along will be up against the same Kedushat HaGuf that you were, and therefore would be mauled again. It's almost everybody, actually, except the Rambam learns the Mishnah. So Ela Be'imau Chli Sharet Bilvad, where over there you would be mauled. Okay, so Rachava Gabe Be'imau Bacha Be'rov Rachavu Bacha Be'rov Rachav. You rode on an animal, which again, the Rambam said, what do you mean, you rode on an animal, what? You took one of the kfasim and went, giddy up, a goat, or what, I mean, what kind of, isn't that a horse we're talking about? Isn't it a truck that we're talking about? And again, Kachi Bedek Abai is good to know, everybody else goes, okay, I guess it was a parah, You got up there on the cow and,
Your kid rode on the lamb.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So then all of them would be mo'el. Or m'shata the kosh shel zahav. Again, according to everybody, but the Rambam referring to the kosh shel zahav. It's used in Zrika for the mayim agave mizbeah. Ubacha v'rosha v'shata. Ubacha v'ro v'shata. Kulam mo'alu. Because in none of these cases were you motzi m'rishus hegdash. Talash min akatat. You pulled some hair out of a katas. Ubacha v'ro v'talash. Ubacha v'ro v'talash. Kulam mo'alu. In that case, all would be mo'el. Again, because you haven't done anything, haven't spoken anything. Rebbe Omer, kol davar she'ein lo narashi's years of years, kol davar she'ein lo pigam.
Pigam.
In other words, there's no way to be pogam it, such as a chatas, let's say, or a klisharis. Again, a pogam it, because you're not going to take away from its usability. So there, the halacha would be, yesh bo moral achar moral. Because in doing something to it, you haven't changed what it is. The Gemara is going to ask in what way that's different from what we just said. Tanakama said it was a behema or a klisharis, but that's, what is he adding? That we'll see. Money Masizah, who is the author of our Mishnah, who includes both Kelim and Behemot as things in which it's possibly Moel Achar Moel? That is going according to Rabbi Nechemiah. D'tanya, Ein Moel Achar Moel Ela B'Behema Bilvad. The only possible way, according to the Tanakama, is to take an animal that was roiv for the mizbeach, again, according to everyone but the Rambam, take an animal that's roiv for the mizbeach, and that, by definition, you can't change by using it, and there, how are you going to be pogame it? You know, once you're pogame, if you're pogame at a point where it becomes balmum, then it becomes value in terms of its money, not in terms of its chatas. But the klisharis, I mean, theoretically, you could take it and make it unusable, and it would still remain. Because we can't include klisharis in this thing. And therefore they say it's only by behema. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, no, behema v'klisharis. It's defined by, in other words, what the use is meant to be. My kaima, the Tanakama, where does the Tanakama get the idea that there is some makpid, that it should be specifically that which cannot be changed? Because everything under behema ksiv, it's basically the chiddush of the pasuk. The Torah stresses the chiperah of a kohen be'el ha'asham. That the Kohen will be mechaper on him using the ayil. I don't understand. It said the pasuk before that he has to bring an ayil Hashem. He has to bring an Hashem. Obviously the Kohen's going to be mechaper on him with the ayil Hashem. What else? He's going to bring some other carbon that the Torah didn't say to bring. This is completely redundant, this pasuk. It's a parallel to bring the ayil Hashem. Therefore, the Tanakhama understands this to mean the Kohen will be mechaper on him where there is a din of me'ilah. Where is a din of me'ilah? Only where it involves somehow something that belongs to Hedvish that's like the Kailash. So he's telling me that it's Bedinim of Behemot particularly. You've got that Begin Mitziah again. Oh, sheep, shy baby. I mean, we're looking forward to something. So, the Torah section starting with the Gezeiras HaKosev, that Ela Hashem is the definition of the space of Me'ilah. Not dealing with Ela Hashem, again, only as a Mo'alach or Mo'el, because we already have our dinim that we've learned from. Chavadis Gachavim, Truma, Sota. Okay, so this gives us a further halakha. It can't be talking about the initial Me'ilah, so we understand it to mean in the case of Mo'alach or Mo'el. Whereas Rabbi Nechemia says, Kal v'chomer, im acherim mevi l'kedush shatan. What's malakosh? I understand what you're talking about. If I take something that doesn't have to do shataguf, I'm bringing a mirror, I put it into a kli, which is now kodesh b'yatzno, it creates the kedush shataguf on the mincha. Right? So you're telling me, the thing which is created by the kedush shataguf, I've been able to use this instrument to bring kedush shataguf, that can go out from the Rishus of Hedrish. But the thing which I gave the Rishus of Hedrish to, that can't go out of Rishus of Hedrish. It's absurd. It's a Kal v'chomer. What does he do with the Pasuk? He has another drush from the Pasuk. Okay. Gemara's not interested here. But the point is that the Mishnah seems to be going only, I'll leave it to Rabbi Netanya, because it uses Kalim as well. I have to have Reuven come every day, because that way I get to see Ariel. He's Zohar. For me, he's always got some reason. He's got to be in the Shabbat HaKotel, all of his Bina is going to be upset. Rebbe Yomer, Kol Davar Shein Lo Pidyon, whatever doesn't have a Pidyon or a Brashis Girsim Tegam, which boils down usually to the same thing, because if it's not Shaykh to a Pagima, if there's no Psul in the Pagima, then you can't be Poded. So, Haina Tanakam, is that the same thing that Tanakam just said? Tanakam just said, Klei Sharet, Yema. What else? Tell me what else you're talking about, Rebbe. Amar Rabbi, Gibbonayo Itzim. This is really part of the famous machlokas about what the status is if somebody donates Itzim for the Mizbeah. Rebbe Shita, if you remember, a wild Shita. The Itzim themselves are a carbon. To the extent that you need to do Knitza on the Itzim, you need to bring other Eitzim to burn those Eitzim, just like you do on any carbon. You've got to bring Eitzim. Okay, so according to him, he's saying, there are things that you're not including in this. Because you would look at Eitzim as basically something to be used up. I look at Eitzim as being a carbon, which is not Shayach Pagima.
Not Shayach Pagima?
Just like a Chatos. Not Shayach Pinyan, in other words. Mm-hmm. So, what am I referring to? So you have to bring a minimum of shnei gzirim, which is what you put on the ma'aracha. Rebbe Omer, etzim korbane. It becomes an actual carbon. It's not that we're using it to burn other things. It's only melach. First, we're going to have to salt the wood. It's like any carbon. You have to bring salt on the carbon. And furthermore, to him tnufa. And Amar Rebbe Divrei Rebbe, etzim tunim etzim. They have to bring other Eitzim to burn it. This game is not fuel, it's the carbon. The Amr Pabla Divrei Rebbe Eitzim Tzrichim Kmitza. You're going to have to chop it up a little piece to be able to
Kmitza. How does the Rambam learn this?
What do you mean, why is it a problem? Oh, you mean the way he's learning in the Mishnah.
There's no Eitzim which is fuel?
There is. But that's a different thing, though. This is a carbon. This is a carbon Eitzim. You can say the Farish, I want to give Eitzim to use for burning. But if somebody's noter Eitzim stam, he's giving us a carbon.
I thought they had a...
That's something else. The Korban, Al Korban Eitzim, referring to the Pasuk.
They cut the trees and told them some dates and they
Eitzim
for worms. Isn't that the fuel?
Yom Tavar Magal.
Well, what is that? Isn't that the fuel?
That's the fuel, 100%. There they were makabel on themselves to bring the fuel for the Mizbeach. Here we're talking about an individual who says, Hare Alai Eitzim.
So that's other
Eitzim. Other Eitzim, absolutely. Rav Papama, Kotche Mizbeach Tmimi Venasu Bale Mumi, Liobe Veshachtani Kamina. The question over here, Machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbanan, is something else. It's talking about their Machlokas legabe the din of ha'amod of ha'arocha. That's really what it's referring to. So our Mishnah is talking about a case we had, Gotchim is Bayak, that indeed were Tmimim originally. Now they became Balimum. If you would be over in Shochet, what would be the din? Vatanya, as it says in the Brisa, Kotche Mizbeach Tmimi Venase Bali Mumi, Vyarabha Shachtan, Rebbe Omer Yikaveru. Rebbe says, if you went out and shachted them, you would have to be Kover them. Because since they require Amad of Arocha, so they're not usable. Which means that Aliva the Shita of Rebbe, they retain their Kedusha. So if they retain their Kedusha, then what he's saying is, okay, so then should be Shayach to be Mayalach or Mayalach, even though they're Bali Mumi now. Because originally, the purpose of them was to be used. You can't change that. According to Chachamim, you don't need Amar V'Arocha, which means that essentially you've turned them now into Kedusha's Domim. Once it's Kedusha's Domim, then the only element that figures in our formula for Megillah is basically monetary. And that becomes an issue that is similar to Gezeila, rather than a perversion of the Hagdasha. Remember, according to Rebbe, I can't change the nature of the Hagdasha. This again, going back to the essential distinction of Mi'ila by Kotchei Berech Abayis and Mi'ila by Kotchei Mizbeach. Essential distinction is that Kotchei Berech Abayis is defined by the value. And therefore, innately, there's a type of Mi'ila which is changes in value. But Kotchei Mizbeach, on the other hand, are defined by the desire to use this arm of Mizbeach. Therefore, it's only a perversion of that usage that creates the Mi'ilah. The question of monetary value over there is either irrelevant, in cases where Pagima is not Shayach, or it becomes an additional factor, in cases where it is. But it's not the ownership per se. It's the fact that in Kotchei Berech Abayis, the original Hagdasha was monetarily defined, and therefore in the misuse of that Hagdasha, I'm doing an act of Mi'ilah. Okay? Therefore, when Rebbe says over here, having once been magdish something for Kedushas HaMizbeach, the fact that I can't use it on the Mizbeach changes it to a type of Kedusha that's similar to Berech Abayis, Chas V'Shalom. V'Horayah, if it died, if you went ahead and shechted it, you're not going to say, I'm shechting it, so okay, at least it's kosher to eat. It's not kosher to eat. Because it remains now Kedusha as it was, the Kedusha Saguf, and has to be buried. Which means that I can't change the way in which I define Me'ilah. It would only mean in the perversion of it. Therefore, Chayach, my Allah for my own. Okay. Tough.